From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, April 15th. Coming up, Sinfonia de Camera, the Chamber Orchestra in residence at Craner Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana, has its season finale concert tomorrow night. We'll get a preview from music director Ian Hobson coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois labor leaders want structural changes to the state's unemployment benefits system. Lawmakers allocated nearly $3 billion in federal pandemic aid to pay down the unemployment insurance trust fund debt, but it's still billions in the red. Illinois AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Pat Devaney says this is not new. The fund is frequently in trouble.
We can't just throw good money after bad. We also have to make changes to the system to where we're not going to three times in 18 years go into borrowing mode and crisis.
Lawmakers, labor, and business groups were negotiating how to pay off the remaining debt, but an impasse was declared late last week. If nothing changes, taxes on employers will increase a little each year until the debt is paid off. Champaign County Crime Stoppers has raised its cash reward for tips involving guns and homicides. Crime Stoppers now offers $2,500 for information leading to an arrest on a felony gun-related crime and $5,000 for information on a homicide in Champaign County. The group's president, John Hecker, says he hopes raising the reward will bring in more tips.
Other Crime Stopper organizations in the United States have done this, and it seems there's been a correlation that as they've done this, they've gotten more information.
Crime Stoppers is an organization that assists law enforcement by collecting anonymous tips on crime. Local Crime Stoppers Vice President Don Trimble says Crime Stoppers has received more than 24,000 tips over the past 35 years, which have helped law enforcement make more than 1,700 arrests. A University of Illinois spokesperson says the university has reached a tentative agreement to provide clerical workers with retroactive pay starting from August 2021. The announcement comes just one day after two dozen members of the Workers' Union, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Local 3700, protested on the U of I campus. Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences Office Support Associate Lisa Kelly attended the protest and was part of the bargaining committee with the university. She says her coworkers need a livable wage.
Then I look at all my colleagues who have families, and they're trying to find a place to live, afford food for their kids and their pets and their, you know, maybe their parents. And I don't see how they can do it.
Many university employees got a 2% raise last August, but because members of the Clerical Workers Union have been without a contract for the past 8 months, they were not included. University spokesperson Robin Kaler says additional pay increases have been afforded to child care workers in the proposed contract. Union President Greg Brandon says he took the university's offer to his members last night. Still to come, a preview of Sinfonia de Camera's season finale concert tomorrow night at Craner Center for the Performing Arts. A conversation with music director Ian Hobson is next on 217 Today.
WILL is pleased to offer our members an exclusive opportunity to watch the revival of the classic masterpiece series Upstairs Downstairs. This version is set at beautiful 165 Eaton Place 6 years after the initial series concluded. Parlor maid Rose Buck is back on the job for a new set of aristocratic homeowners, and she has to recruit a new staff of servants. Eaton Place remains a hotbed of secrets, lies, and scandal. Learn how you can watch the entire series and other critically acclaimed dramas at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Sinfonia de Camera, the chamber orchestra in residence at Craner Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana, holds its season finale concert tomorrow night at 7:30. I spoke with Sinfonia's music director and conductor, Ian Hobson, about the program and more. It includes Symphonic Metamorphosis by Hindemith, Concerto for Orchestra by Bartok, and starts with Weber's Overture to Oberon.
Well, the music is wonderful. He actually composed it to an English libretto, which is very rarely done. I mean, the opera is very rarely done, to say the least. But it's a magical piece, as you would expect from something related to Midsummer Night's Dream. It is very virtuosic for the orchestra, very colorful, a real great curtain raiser.
And as far as the Hindemith goes, I must say, as a recovering trombone player, that was always one of my favorites to play in wind ensemble, especially that last movement, the fourth movement.
Yeah, which is a march. You know, Hindemith is pretty tough going in some areas, including the sonatas for just about every instrument mm-hmm. with piano, which I've played many of. But in this case, he took the themes from four-hand piano music by Carl Maria von Weber and kind of twisted it in his own way. And it's just a gorgeous piece. There's a beautiful slow movement. There's a kind of army march for the first movement. Second movement is the Turandot theme, which has a lot of percussion in it. And the last movement is, as you say, a great enlivening march.
Yeah, it really is, and always one of my favorites to hear and to play back in the day. And then as far as the Bartok goes, Concerto for Orchestra, it's not often that you can say that, a piece for orchestra really does showcase each section, but the Bartok just does a wonderful
job.
This one
does. Oh, my goodness, yeah. It's a big work, five-movement work, with so many hidden, jokes in it, if you like. If we just think about the second movement, which is the game of couples, he features wind instruments at different intervals from each other. So it starts with the bassoons playing in sixth, and then it has the clarinets in sevenths, and then the flutes in fifths, and then the trumpets in seconds. So it's very full of fun, marvelously orchestrated. He was quite ill at this time when he wrote this thing. He was exiled to the United States. He didn't have much money, and he wrote this piece for Koussevitzky and the Boston Symphony. I'm discovering some things in it. For example, there is a Midsummer Night's Dream. In the elegy, Midsummer Night's Dream, the opening of Midsummer Night's Dream of Mendelssohn, mm-hmm. is just kind of subtly hinted at. And then, not so subtly, is in the fourth movement, which is called the Interrupted Serenade. He quotes from the Leningrad Symphony, Symphony No. 7 by Shostakovich, which had just been premiered. After the siege of Leningrad, this was during the Second World War, mm-hmm. and Bartok was not a nice man. I think you could say that, and he disliked this symphony intensely, and so he parodies it by comparing one of its themes to "You'll See Me at Maxime's" from Franz Lehár's "Merry Widow." Mm. So he does that, and then he has what we would call raspberries in England from the trombones. And then he goes on with his business. He goes on, and the finale is just a rip roaring chase to the finish. It's a magnificent piece of music.
It really is. And I imagine in preparing for this, these are obviously works that will challenge just about any ensemble. So I imagine it's been, a challenging period getting ready for this performance, but also very rewarding.
Yes. This is, I don't think you'll find many orchestras who will put the Hindemith Symphonic Metamorphosis and the Bartok Concerto on the same program. I did it for a very specific reason, because they're related, they were born in the same year, and so forth. And I, as I said before, I think it's the two of the greatest works of the 20th century. The orchestra loves to play it. You won't find regional orchestras playing maybe the Hindemith, but certainly not the Bartok. Bartok is only played by great orchestras. Mm-hmm. So we have to work very, very hard, and we use our wonderful players that we have the privilege of using in Central Illinois in the Sinfonia.
And in addition to the season finale concert this Saturday night, which should be an amazing performance, you've also got a chamber music performance coming up next week as well, I understand.
Yes, indeed. This is something on a completely unrelated subject, except that it's called Chamber Cornucopia, and it is part of my Schumann series. I've been working my way through Schumann for piano and piano chamber music. And it features our orchestral principals in a big way. We have Bernard Scully, horn, John Dee, oboe, David Harris, clarinet, and Chaba Edeli, viola, as well as Ko Iwasaki, who was here many years ago, a very good friend of mine, great cellist. And we're doing Schumann works for chamber music. We're doing the folk pieces for cello, the Märchenbilder, and other works, and the three romances for oboe, for example, Adagio and Allegro for horn. So we have, you know, really some pieces that you don't get to hear very often, but they're all wonderful pieces, and in an intimate setting in Smith Hall, which has been renovated, as you probably know, and it's really very beautiful now.
That's Sinfonia da Camera Music Director Ian Hobson. You can attend the free chamber music concert Tuesday, April 19th at 7:30 p.m. at Smith Hall on the University of Illinois Urbana campus. Sinfonia da Camera's season finale concert is tomorrow night at 7:30 in Folinger Great Hall at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. You can get tickets at krannertcenter.com. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see partly cloudy skies today with a chance of showers this afternoon and a high of 63 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Emilio Reyes, and Zainab Qureshi. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.